So I do hope that you took those questions and you have practiced them on someone. Remember, unless you put these practices into practice, then you're never going to appreciate how effective they can actually be. Now, if you were paying attention in that last conversation with Karen, you might have picked up on the few occasions where she gave reference to her confidence. Our confidence as a person. What I would like to share with you here is one of these little nuggets of life. And this is that, you know, some people assume that they either have confidence or they don't have confidence, kind of like as a tangible thing that we either fully have or that we don't fully have. What I'm going to suggest is that there are three levels, three areas in our life where we're impacted by our confidence, right? So on one level, people will either be confident or not confident in who they are as individuals. And what I'm talking about here is the confidence that we have in our core identity, i.e. the truth of who we are. When a person isn't fully confident in the truth of who they are going to most likely clutch at straws and be desperate to find validation from external sources, sometimes through acceptance of other people, through acceptance and validation that comes through their performance and so on and so forth. Then people are impacted on a confidence level and their ability to learn and solve problems. Now, I think I gave an example earlier on. When I was in school, I was called dyslexic. I had this label passed and placed on me. These days, children aren't labeled dyslexic anymore. They've created and invented another 20 different labels. And in 20 years from now, all the labels that currently exist will most likely have been replaced with other things. As human beings, we have a tendency of loving these labels, don't we? What I'm going to suggest is that when individuals are not confident and grounded and secure in who they are, they will embrace whatever labels come their way. And this often comes to the detriment of the progress that they go on to make in their life. So when a person is not confident in their ability to learn and solve problems, there's pretty high chance that they are not going to ever step outside the comfort zone and actually take risks to pursue the things that they ultimately want to pursue. Karen gave a great example of this in that last conversation, where when she was younger, she would kind of hide away, shy away in the background. She wouldn't boldly and confidently communicate openly and honestly, and she wouldn't share of herself. And all of this is due to confidence, right? How confident we are in who we are and our intrinsic value and all of this stuff I'm going to be unpacking with you in quite a lot of depth in the later sections of the course, because this is life. This is what coaching people in life is all about, helping people to become confident and secure in who they are, become confident and secure and grounded in their ability to learn and solve problems. And once we are grounded in those two areas, well, the skills that we go on to develop just pretty much becomes the icing on the cake, all right, which is the third area in which we are impacted on a confidence level in our ability to perform and produce. So that's a little bit of context for what I'm going to come on to here. What I want to discuss here, just give you a little bit of insight into, are the core learning styles that people have. Some people might refer to them as learning preferences. And commonly, what happens is in our schooling system, in the educational establishments of the world, there are some norm learning styles, all right? And many teachers and many educators don't always fully appreciate this VARC model. And this is the fact that people learn in different ways. Now, I think I mentioned earlier on that I have quite a unique way of learning. So I actually learn more effectively by speaking things out or by practicing. All right. Whereas some people will learn from reading a book or watching a documentary or looking at a PowerPoint. One of the reasons why I teach the way that I do, I'm generally quite energetic. I like to integrate quite a lot of emotion into my teaching. I like to keep things relatively entertaining, all right, being the operative word, just not rigid and boring. Why? Because I understand that different people prefer different levels of engagement. Some people like to be engaged with on a visual level, hence the reason I don't just stand here rigidly reading off a PowerPoint in a boring monotone voice. There's a pretty good chance if that was how I'd been for you up until now, you would have turned me off already. All right. Some people engage with information more through an auditory means. And what I'm talking about here is some people will happily listen to podcasts, or they'll just be listening to the audio MP3 versions of these lectures. They don't need to watch on. Whereas other people who operate more in a kinesthetic, or who learn more kinesthetically, yes, they might engage on some level through reading and writing and watching PowerPoints, but what they're looking for is the overall experience. All right, so a little bit of visual, a little bit of auditory, but they want to get a feel for what's going on through relating to that which they are hearing. Now, I tell you these things because coaching, although it's not formal teaching, quite a lot of education will be going on through the coaching process. So it's important that as life coaches that we understand the different ways that people engage with ideas, information, and fundamentally how they retain ideas, information, or insights. All right. So scientists and psychologists have identified these number of ways that people retain and learn information: visual, auditory, through reading, writing, and also kinesthetic. So when I create a course such as this, I want to engage with people on four different levels. Visually, we want to make the courses as visually appealing as what we can do. Acknowledging that they are just video-based courses, so we're not going to have special effects and robots jumping on the screen and aliens popping out and flashbangs, all that kind of stuff. It's just a training course, but we want to make it as visually engaging as possible. Auditory, I want to make sure that I have some emotion coming through in my vocabulary as I'm speaking out. I don't just want to be speaking in a monotone voice. Plus, the flip side of this coin is I genuinely am passionate about coaching people in life, and I'm genuinely passionate about helping you alongside everyone else who's taken this course to understand these ideas so you can get out there and practice them so we can make a difference, because I subscribe to the teach a man to teach other people how to fish so that together we can end world hunger. So guess what? Even this course is part of my own personal legacy. All right? Are you catching what I'm cooking? Are you hearing me? Are you feeling me? Are you getting the grips of what I'm saying? Because if so, it might be the case that you're a bit of a kinesthetic learner. All right, so every learning style responds best to different methods of teaching, all right, or communicating or engagement. So what this means for us as life coaches is that we've got to gauge the response that we are getting from our clients or those people that we are working with. If we are just sitting asking questions in a monotone voice, and if you've ever been to a conventional therapist or a conventional counsellor, you're most likely aware that this is how some counsellors or hypnotherapists talk, and in time people think that they're genuinely having a therapeutic experience, but they're not. They just fall asleep because they're bored, senseless, and that's it. And that's not what I'm trying to do here. Oh no, I want to keep you engaged, to engage with your mind, to engage with your understanding so you can get this stuff and ultimately go on to apply it. What I'm saying is here, it's good to gauge the responses that we get. There's an idea, and this is that the meaning of communications can be found through the response that we get. So say, for example, a client is just really, really close to us. Well, we could say, this client's really, really closed. They're not open. They don't meet the standard that you mentioned earlier on, Kane. Therefore, I'm going to be closed to them. Or we can ask ourselves slightly more effective questions. Right, this client is closed. What part am I playing in this? How am I responsible for this? How might I be responsible for this? How might I be influencing this client negatively right now? Am I engaging, communicating with this client in a way that just isn't right for them? And in which case, if we do find that we've got a bit of a standoff in a coaching relationship, the best thing we can do as quickly as possible is just simply use, it's a counseling skill actually called immediacy. We say, oh, I'm just sensing that there's something not working here, right? I'm just wondering if you'd be happy to have a conversation about this so we can figure out how it is that I can communicate in a way that you're going to be able to receive better, that's just going to be better for you. And then we give our client opportunity to give us some feedback. So what I'm saying is we want to understand this. All right, we can't just assume that we're going to be able to engage with every single client that comes our way And we also can't assume that our communication style is going to work with all people, because it won't, because all people are different. So in the early stages of the relationship, especially when we're laying the foundations and getting the trust down, if we sense there's a bit of resistance or hesitation, if a client's holding back, or if they're getting angry towards us, if there's a bit of a power struggle going on, we acknowledge it right in session one or session two, so we can move beyond it and into more meaningful things. But if we do experience resistance or hesitation or aggro or something like this, it's going to most likely, 9 times out of 10, be because we're not communicating with them in the way that they need us to communicate with them. Are you with me? Makes sense? Very, very simple idea, but I just wanted to build this in at this stage of the course. So I hope you found this interesting, and I'll see you again in the next clip.